my arms and legs were sore.
I think this is the new one, right? This is the upper. Yeah.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
Sweet, sweet song.
And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thighs, pink stuff in my eyes, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
All right, Doc, listen up. This part's just for you.
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
How do you make that work musically?
Dr.
Kevin Morse joins us. Yes, John DeCosta, musical director, went back in the studio and re-recorded your song, Doc.
Wow. You know, John's such a great guy, and I'm sure the people down at Northwestern appreciate that they put that in there, so it's great, and we appreciate it.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. How was your weekend?
It was great. Hey, you know, even just the knowledge that it's going to be 40, almost 50 this week just made the, you know, those final cold days tolerable. So it was wonderful.
50 on Thursday. You say 53, Andre? Are you going for 53?
53 is what I'm hoping for. Fingers crossed.
She's saying 53. All right. So let's talk about the new budget bill for a second and what it's going to do to health care. What do we know and what do we don't? What don't we know, I should say?
Yeah, I kind of think it's interesting how quickly this went through. People probably didn't realize some of the impacts that it did because they were all focusing on what's my new tax rate, income tax rate going to be. But unfortunately, one of the impacts of it was a thing that they slipped in with the Affordable Care Act by removing that individual mandate. And the individual mandate said that everyone must have insurance, and if you don't have insurance, then you have to pay a penalty. Taking that out now, individuals have the option as to whether or not to join or not join. The health care, to have a health insurance.
Right. And if you take it out, math being what it is, because, you know, math sucks because it never lies, people are going to have to pay more who need the most insurance because the kids that are healthy that we're paying, they can now choose not to pay.
Right. So a couple things happen. Exactly that. Those young, healthy people that say, you know what, I'm going to roll the dice. I don't want to pay this fine. Now I don't have to pay this fine at all. I'm going to roll the dice because I don't really need health insurance and I don't want to pay into it. That's one class. There's the other group here that says, boy, I can barely afford it as it is. I'm still going to roll the dice even though I have chronic illnesses and I'm going to hope that nothing bad happens. Both of those are disasters waiting to happen. And when that does happen, now you do have the insurance industry saying, hold on, time out, this math doesn't work for us anymore. The only way it works is if we increase our premiums dramatically. So now you're going to have even the individuals that want insurance that have chronic health problems that are going to the marketplace are going to be charged more.
You can imagine if we suddenly decided a particular age demographic didn't have to pay for car insurance anymore. You know, they could opt out of car insurance. Mm-hmm. Your car insurance premiums go through the roof.
Exactly. You know, and that's just the one part of it. The other part of it is, what's this going to do to the deficit? Because if it impacts the deficit like many economists say it's going to, now the things that are going to come under the microscope are going to be Medicare and Medicaid. What cuts are we going to do? Because it's 30% of our budget right now. So when we start to see our deficit grow and budgets have to, you know, they have to be more in line, where are they going to start to cut? And certainly they'll look at the Medicare and Medicaid and whether they say, you know what, Medicare doesn't start at 65 anymore, it now starts at 67. Or the portion of sharing that you need to pay your portion of is going to go up. So it's going to impact seniors. And then when we see cuts in Medicaid, that's going to impact the poor as well as children, especially in the state of Illinois.
So, look, you can't go in Mr. Peabody's Wayback Machine here and change the past to help the future. But if you go back to when Obamacare was instituted / shoved down everybody's throat, if Medicare, Medicaid, from fraud to the architecture of it, was fixed back then and everybody was given access, could that have, you know, made all of this not happen in theory?
Absolutely. the amount of Medicare fraud that goes on in this country is obscene. You know, and people don't even hear about it. But people from outside of this country that are actually filing Medicare claims and getting paid is billions and billions of dollars, and yet Medicare has not had the ability to identify those individuals and capture those individuals and stop paying them. So really, Medicare fraud is huge. Medicaid fraud, not as bad, because Medicaid's really not a great payer to begin with, so it's not like they're going after a lot of money there, but you'll see a lot of people that actually are on Medicaid that maybe shouldn't be and actually should be on their own insurance. So that portion of it's a little bit more difficult, but the Medicare portion of it is something we really need to get our arms around, or we're going to end up seeing cuts, you know, from either increasing the payment that they have to pay or extending the age before Medicare kicks in.
So less money spent on health care means patients will get less care for chronic illnesses that have bigger consequences. What happens, Doc, if someone comes to an emergency room or is rushed to a hospital and they either don't have insurance or are behind on their payments? What do you do in that situation?
Yeah, you know, the beauty of it, Andrea, is when a patient comes to any emergency room, we don't even know what insurance they have. We could care less what insurance we have. That's for the finance people. The doctors in the emergency room, the nurses in the emergency room, the doctors on the floors are taking care of that patient regardless of their ability to pay. Now, that being said, you're still going to receive great care. Everything's going to, you know, go well for you. But eventually now, hospitals are going to say, wait a second, this math isn't working for us. We can no longer buy that new CAT scan that we need to diagnose strokes quicker. We can no longer invest in new surgical techniques and new surgical equipment. So now all patients are going to suffer because of the impact of some bigger decisions.
Yeah, and you know, the preventative care of this, in all likelihood, has to go away because that costs insurance companies money. But for those of you who have been paying attention in the last couple of years, you've probably seen solicitations for free services from your insurance companies to get you involved in a healthier lifestyle, whatever that means for you. And in some cases, like I noticed with our insurance when signed up in November, they're incentivizing you to do it as well. They'll, you know, cut a little bit of your premium, or they'll bonus you at the end of the year,
right,
if you sign up for this as well. I would assume all of that stuff, which you always put in the category, rightfully so, of pay me now or you have to pay me later, that's going to go away.
Yeah, you know, you would hope that companies would still step up and offer discounts and premiums for those employees that they find that are healthy or want to be healthy. The difficult thing is that companies are often starting to look now at how long does an employee stay with me? And why am I going to invest this much money up front if I know that the vast majority of my employees are only going to be here for 5 to 7 years before they move on, or 3 years? So that's the difficult part. But companies with good moral standards are saying, you know what, I want you to be healthy, I'm going to incent you to be healthy, and I'm going to continue to do that. The chronic illness portion of it as well is taking care of individuals and making sure that that blood pressure can be treated, that diabetes can be treated, so that we don't have these devastating illnesses and injuries that could have been prevented with simple, inexpensive medical treatment that's easy on the patient.
Let's take a break, come back more with Doc in a second. And Doc, I know you don't like to talk about this piece because you're modest about it, but I'm concerned too about doctors leaving the business or maybe never getting in.
Yep.
Stand by for that. Hi, how are you? I'm sure there's something I need to be doing now. I'm paying attention to my own show. You're driving to work this morning. You know how it is. You come back from a break. You don't have your headphones on. You know what it's like. 6:50, Dr. Kevin Most. Kind enough to give us his time, as he does every Monday morning. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. A couple more things on this before we move on, Doc. Talking about the end of the Obamacare mandate as part of the new tax structure, which still has a ways to go before that full impact kicks in. But the problems that we've talked about and Doc has cleared up or talked about here are big. So boil this down to the average older person. Give me what it's going to do to a relatively healthy older person and somebody who's not.
So when you say older, what do you mean?
75 and older.
Okay. So 75, someone that's on Medicare currently and will fall well into the qualifications of Medicare. may need to pay more for their medication, may need to pay more for some of their outpatient services. So their cost may go up. The person that's ill at 75, you know, it's probably going to be about the same. So you're going to start to see, and these people are living on fixed incomes and have budgets that have been set, but eventually, and this is, when I say eventually, it's not going to be that long, where they're going to have to sit there and say, wait a second, we need to change that. Now, that individual who's 63, 64 and thinking, I'm going to retire and get on Medicare at 65, they change it to 67, you're going to have 2 years of premiums that you're going to have to go out to the marketplace now and purchase.
The Medicare reimbursements for doctors, am I right about this? They've continued to go down?
Yeah, well, they don't go down. They pretty much stay flat. So in
it's a law, right? They have to pass a law?
Exactly. So what happens is, you know, the cost of living is still continuing to rising, but the cost of payments of Medicare are staying pretty much flat and very, very small increases. And it costs more now to take care of a Medicare patient. And you say, well, how can that be? Because as people live longer, there's more chronic illnesses that we're dealing with in more difficult patients. And when I say difficult, I don't mean that they're difficult, but that their complex medical problems are. So, yeah, every hospital, every doctor's office loses money, I'll say, on Medicare.
Which is why a lot of doctors won't take it, right?
Well, a lot of doctors are starting to say, I'm certainly not taking Medicaid,
right.
And many are starting to opt out of Medicare as well, which is concerning because we have 10,000 baby boomers being added to the Medicare docket every single day.
And what is this going to do to the supply of doctors? Constant concern is, as this next generation lives to be 100, will there be enough doctors to take care of them? That's why nurse practitioners and physician's assistants is such a boom field to get into. But you need doctors, and has the glut of doctors gone away to the point where people aren't getting into the business the way they used to?
Yeah, so there's two things that are happening there. One is, like you said, we are going to have a shortage, and that shortage, depending on who you listen to, can anywhere be any number from 35,000 to 100,000 over the next decade. So this is not something 20 years, 30 years from now. 25 years from now, yeah, there's going to be a huge shortage. And a couple things are happening currently. You're starting to see a lot of physicians retire a little bit earlier. They're kind of getting burned out. They've gone through these tough times, and they say, I've had enough of medicine, and what's going on in medicine is not something that's enlightening to them anymore, and they don't have that love of the game anymore, and they're starting to step back. And that has two effects. One is it takes great doctors out of the workforce, and two, those are the same doctors that should be cheerleading for young individuals to say, go into medicine, and many of them now are very cynical and saying, you know what, go into computer programming and go into engineering because it's a lot less stressful, and it's a much better. So that's going to impact the number of patients that come in as well. But you're absolutely right with our APNs and our physician assistants, great providers that are going to provide a lot of hopefully primary care and support for specialists, which will allow us to soften that blow of what the shortage is.
Doc, how about some areas that we do have some control over, how we can better ourselves to prevent maybe something catastrophic happening in the long term?
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, Andre, because a great study came out of a journal called Lancet just before the holidays, and it talked about the impact of obesity and diabetes on your risk of cancer. And it showed that you have a substantially higher risk of cancer if you're diabetic or obese for specific cancers. And you say, well, wait a second, I can't control if I have diabetes. And yet the vast majority of the type 2 or adult onset diabetes is actually because of our lifestyle. As we get more heavy, as we get more obese, we become pre-diabetic and often then ends up being diabetic as well. So controlling your weight, doing some of these things, control obesity, try to get your weight down, try to stay off of diabetes medicines by keeping your weight down and exercising will actually impact your rate or your possible rate for many cancers, including colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, kidney cancer.
Is there a obvious set of symptoms that means people could be pre-diabetic and they ought to be checked?
Yeah, you know, it's actually based on your BMI. So your BMI, your body mass index, it's a calculation. You can Google it. You can put in your height, put in your weight, and it's going to tell you what your BMI is. The goal is to have a BMI under 25. And I have to be honest with you that the number of people with a BMI under 25 in this country is minuscule, to be honest with you. We are heavier in this country than we need to be, and everyone's well over a BMI of 25. That being said, working towards that goal, every time you drop a point or 2 points or 3 points, you're decreasing your risk for other illnesses, including, you know, even back pain and joint and hip pain. So all of those things that we can do to make ourselves healthier is going to actually help all of us in the long run, to be honest with you, whether you're going to look at the economics of it or the need for physicians.
Yeah, and that's that pay me now or pay me later thing, because for pennies on the dollar, you can monitor somebody's blood pressure, as you always tell us, and help them avoid getting on the medication later or maybe having a stroke down the road. Whereas if that's avoided, you're definitely going to be paying more later.
Absolutely.
So, and is there another study, too, that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, this is a big one. Excuse me. This is called All of Us, and this is just kicking off, or will kick off majorly in the spring, but we happen to have a couple beta sites. Northwestern happens to be one. And what this study is, and this is a very important for everyone to listen to, there was a study that started in 1948 called the Framingham Study, and it took the town of Framingham, Massachusetts, and it went to them and said, please help us out. We need to figure out what to do with heart disease. We need to find out how the impact of cholesterol, blood pressure, all of those things. And 5,200 of the 22,000 people, so almost a quarter of the town, stood up and said, I will participate. And when they did, it allowed us to figure out how to treat blood pressure, how to treat heart disease, and that study is still going on. The All of Us is that on steroids. This is a nationwide study that will be starting here. You'll start to see more and more about it, where what we want is we want every individual, we'd love to have as many as possible. The goal is 1 million across the country to step up and say, you know what, I'm going to participate. You can be healthy, you can be sick, you can live in a suburban area, you can live in a rural area, you can live in an urban area, you can be anybody over the age of 18 right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to collect some specimens from you, we're going to collect some information from you about lifestyle, and we're going to start to build this database so that we can start to understand why a disease starts, and we can have data that says this is the best treatment for it. Right now, unfortunately, we're working off of history and scattered information, so it's very, very important.
How do you sign up?
Right now, there's only a couple places to sign up, but you can sign up at Northwestern, and I'm not touting Northwestern.
Go ahead,
UIC
tout.
Is doing this
tout
as well.
It.
University
tout the heck
of Chicago,
out of it.
Rush, North Shore. We just happen to be one of the collection sites, and we're really hoping that in Chicago we can get a couple hundred thousand people. But the biggest thing right now is you can either go and Google it. You can go into nm.org and join All of Us. The information is there if you live downtown and you want to get that done. This spring, we'll start to expand that. But if you think about it, what this is going to allow is going to allow a lot of information about many diseases. This is no longer just about cancer. This could be about the common cold. This could be about influenza. This could be about blood pressure, so that we're able to, called precision medicine, so that we're able to identify things earlier and treat people more appropriately with possibly less medication and less side effects.
nm.org/joinallofus, or as Doc said, Google All of Us Study, and you'll see links to go ahead and volunteer. A lot of information there, Doc.
Yeah.
Always appreciate it.
Let me say one more quick thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're going to go to the All of Us, make sure you go to the allofus.nih.gov. If you think, oh, it's allofus.org, that's an anti-Trump site, so you're not going to get the information that you want.
Well, you might get some information you want,
yeah,
but
not
health-wise.
All right. Give me again, allofus.nih.gov.
Correct.
Okay. Well,
that's,
I mean,
important.
It could have been worse,
yeah,
right?
You got to do that.
Do you remember a few years ago, I was filling in for Spike, and there was a website from some college guys. They were from Northwestern.
Yeah.
And they had come up with, and I don't remember the specific, but Doc, it was like a socks company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was greatsocks.com.
Yeah.
And a woman got a hold of me a couple days later and goes, I don't know what you're thinking of, but that thing was filthy.
This porn site,
sort of,
yeah,
like greatsex.com,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
And, you know, things got ugly from there. So, yeah, you got to be careful. Doc Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Thank you, sir.
You got to take care, guys.